And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, as we move on in our study of Revelation. We are on lesson number 6. If you need lesson number 6, raise your hand, and Brother Collins will sveltely bring that to you in a manner in which is absolutely amazing. The speed, the swiftness, notice the agility. All right, lesson 6, the announcement to the seven churches, and specifically section 2, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the active church of Ephesus. The active church of Ephesus. Our memory verse for this section is Revelation 2:4. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Revelation 2:4. And again, Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Revelation 2:4. Father, please bless our time and speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. And challenge us with the Word of God and teach us some things that maybe we didn't know before. Most of all, Lord, we just want to please you. So help us to do that now as we listen and as we respond to what you say to us. We pray that we'll be different because of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are on this first section of this area. We've broken Revelation down, all kinds of sevens in Revelation. So we've broken the book of Revelation into seven sections, and section 2 is the announcement to the seven churches. And the first church that we're talking about of the seven churches is the active church of Ephesus. And just a great breakdown here in the scripture for this church in Ephesus. And really, honestly, all the churches seem to, the pattern is the same that God gives them. So that's how the outlines are going to be now for the next year or two, however long it takes to get through Revelation 2 and 3. But we have the city, we have Roman numeral 2, the characteristic of Christ, all of the letters to these churches have a characteristic that Christ, he signs the letter with. And we did spend a little time on that. Roman number 3 is the commendation. Something positive is said about each of the churches. And then number 4, Roman numeral 4, is the condemnation. Something that they have done wrong, God is telling them about. Number 5 is the counsel. In other words, some type of counsel that is given to them. Number 6 is the call. And again, he pretty much, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then number 7, Roman number 7, is the comfort. God offers comfort to them. Certainly, again, we must remember that it's a time of persecution. It's a very difficult time for each of these, every one of these churches and the Christians that make up the church. And it is a tough time, but God always gives his comfort. And that's a blessing to me as I study the Bible, the comfort that the Lord gives. And you say, well, you know, I just didn't get a good feeling out of it. Read the Word of God. It is His Word, okay? It's amazing how we're looking for something otherwise when He's given us His Word. And His Word does give comfort. You'll find it doesn't matter what you might be reading in His Word. God has a way to use it. And He promises it will not return void. We always like to use that when we think of soul winning. We think of giving the Word of God to our loved ones, and God says, well, it won't return void. Something will happen with it, but that's true for the Christian, too. Read His Word, and it will help you. It'll give that comfort. So, anyway, we are on Roman numeral 3, the commendation. He is very positive about the church at Ephesus, and he says in verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And that's where we Then we did talk about verse 3, has borne, has patience for my name's sake, that has labored and has not fainted. And so we did talk about that. We talked about, number one, their works and their labor. They are commended for that. They are commended for their patience. Patience, steadfast endurance, good definition. Remain under, a good definition. Remain under whatever it is that you are under. Pressure, persecution, trial, whatever it might be. Patience is the remaining there and still doing right, still obeying, still learning, still growing, and just staying with it. And we talked about Gideon, faint yet pursuing. That's a good testimony of a Christian. You may be tired, you may be wore out, you may not think you can take another step. Just keep going. You just got to keep going. And then they were commended for not being patient with evil. I like verse 2. I love it. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Okay, there's so much you can be patient with, but you're not patient with those who are evil. And you deal with evil, and that's a good thing. In other words, you know, you could go to Ephesus Baptist Church, and the preaching would be against sin. And it's, you know, we're not going to put up with sin. We're going to deal with it, going to preach against it. We're going to love sinners, and we're going to try to win sinners, but we are not going to tolerate sin. We're not going to be patient with sin. And so we gave some verses about that. And then in light of that, we go to, where'd it go here? Verse 6. And verse 6 says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And, you know, those that want to paint Jesus as a, you know, he just loves everything and everybody and all that kind of stuff. I like what one preacher said. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. Amen. I mean, I just love everything. I just love everything. You can't possibly. It's not possible. Cannot take place. Can't take place. All right. There's got to be. You know, you can't straddle that fence. And that's what I like. You know, about the church at Ephesus here. They dealt with these Nicolaitans, and I mentioned to you the last time we spoke about this, talked to you about where did they come from, possibly, and who did they follow. I don't remember if anybody answered that question or not. Does anybody know? There is no wrong answer. It's mostly there is no answer as to for sure. I have my speculation. I can't say it's original because I got it from commentators and formulated my own ideas. But I think I asked the question, where do we find Nicholas in the Bible? Anybody look that up? A fellow named Nicholas. And yes, I did ask that question because I think Shirley Bailey said saint and he's at the North Pole. Was that you, Shirley? Such a spiritual answer. Does anybody know where Nicholas is? Well, he's dead. Well, yeah, he is. Nobody knows? I'm amazed. I figured you'd look that up. All the scholars here. Look at Acts 6. Acts 6. Now, many believe, and actually early church fathers, which are some ancient writings that we have, they also, several concur that this is where the Nicolaitans came from, Acts 6 and verse 3. Acts 6, 3. But again, there's no explanation as to how it all took place. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. By the way, if you don't recognize this passage, you'll see where we believe the first deacons were seen in the church. And the command to look out among you, seven men of honest report, Again, the whole idea of these men and the way deacon we would come up with that term is the word means servant. Diakonos is a servant, someone who serves, and these men were chosen. They were not just any men. They were to be honest, honest report. In other words, people would say good things about them. They would have a good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. By the way, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, you probably have a pretty good reputation. Amen. Except among those who are evil, who would not want to say good things about you. Anyway, whom we may appoint over this business, we will give ourselves continually prayer to the ministry of the word. And so they were servants. And here we have the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith. We know about Stephen and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And so Nicholas here was one of the first deacons. And he was obviously chosen because he was willing to serve and all of that. But it is said that these Nicolaitans became, these were followers of Nicholas. Somewhere along the line, he let his position go to his head and certainly didn't go to his heart, because if it had been in his heart, he would have just served, because that is what it is supposed to be, and that's what he was supposed to be. But he developed a following, and these are the Nicolaitans. Again, there's not a lot said about them in the Bible. Just one other time, and we talked about that, and we'll come back to them. But they were believers, but they were compromisers, and they were very, very much like what you would describe much of Christianity today. They compromised in their beliefs. They compromised in their standards. And they were compromisers. Look, if you will, at 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, we will come back to them later on. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after... No, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Study Balaam sometime. You'll see modern day Christianity. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And here where the preacher gets told by the donkey, buddy, you are making a huge, huge mistake. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now these are, this could describe Christian after Christian after Christian. Basically it boils down to they compromised. In other words, God's word is good. We can get saved. We ought to get saved. Everybody should get saved. But God does not necessarily tell us how to live. Now folks, I've read the Bible through many, many times. And God most certainly does tell us how to live. God most certainly has told us how to live from the beginning. From Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, you can do anything here in this garden. It's all for you. But there's a tree. Okay? Don't eat the fruit of that tree. One restriction. That was all. I've had people say all the time, you know, well, you know, in a utopian society, man would do great. Man would fail as man has failed from the beginning, because man can't understand that when God says don't, he means don't. When God says do, he means do. I have people all the time trying to explain away Scripture, trying to argue Scripture, trying to explain this and that to make whatever they like easier to do. And when folks get mad enough about all the thou shalts and thou shalt nots, they find somewhere else to go and get their meal. They do. And by the way, it is easier and easier and easier in our day to go find someplace else. It is. I mean, Burger King, look at all the fast food places, right? Travel. Fast food, fast food, fast food, fast food everywhere. Okay, how healthy is it? Look at their board sometime that lists how healthy it is. Now, I'm not a health food nut. Believe me, I can eat grease. I could drink it. Okay? But I'm just saying, I'm not preaching about healthy and all that. I'm just saying, why is there so much fast food? Because we like it. That's why. Right? Yeah, and you know, now they're trying to say our unhealthy food's healthier than your unhealthy food. You know, that's supposed to win us over to that. But again, they're everywhere, right? With their French fries and their chocolate shakes and all that kind of stuff. Look at the calories and all. I'm just saying. And now, church wise, there's Burger King Baptists everywhere, and Burger King churches everywhere. In other words, hey, have it your way. Do your own thing. We're not going to tell you how to live. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're not going to tell you what not to do. We're just going to tell you about love. Now, you know what? That Nicolaitan ideal and preaching has been going on for many, many years. It's just easier today to find some place where you can feel good. That's how it is. I thank God over and over again that I went to a church as a new Christian where the pastor didn't care whether I felt good or not. And I squirmed in my seat over, I'm talking about after I got saved. I squirmed, my wife squirmed, we were Christian, but we were young Christians, and thank God for a man who told us how to live. Amen. Oh, yes, you can't tell people how. Well, God's men have been doing it for years, and they've not been popular ever. Not with the world, but it is right. And if it's truth and it's right, then it needs to be preached. The Nicolaitans said, do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. And, they took liberty as a license to sin. Now, we get accused of that all the time because we believe when you get saved, you're saved. By the way, when you get saved, you are saved. I don't know if you're really saved or not. That's between you and God. But I do know this. I know when you get saved, you are saved. But that's not a license to sin. That doesn't make it okay to, well, at least I'm saved. No, there's a God in it. Why do we always want to leave God out after we get saved? Is there or is there not a God in heaven who, once we get saved, is now our Father? Well, you suppose He does just close His eye to everything we do? No, He speaks to us. He convicts us. And when we keep doing what we're not supposed to do, He chastens us. And He does. He does that to His children all the time. And again, this modern day whoop-de-doo, have a good time kind of religion, you would never talk about God's chastening. You know, if you're sick, I don't know what happened. I can't imagine. You know, it's got to be the demon of sickness. You know, whatever explanation. And if you're sick, I don't know if it's because God's chastening you. You know, when I was a kid, I always knew when I was being chastened, and I always knew why. Never did I go to my room crying from a spanking saying, I wonder why I got that. I always knew. Okay, when God spanks me, I know why. You don't need to know why if God spanks me. I don't need to know why if God spanks you either. How did I get off on that? I have no idea. That's not in the notes. It's all free. But you got it. So, again, our liberty, thank God for it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. But then it does go on and say, and be not again entangled with the bonds of the enemy. Be not again entangled with, can a Christian get entangled with bonds, shackles? Well, sure. Yeah, you better believe it. We can get entangled with all kinds of stuff that constantly pulls on. You know, the old world pulls on me all the time. Does it you? It does me. Does it you, fellas? I know. We've talked about it, haven't we? And every time we talk about it pulling on you, I'm thinking about all the ways it's pulling on me, too. And that old life, it's constantly trying to drag me back into it. Sometimes it's as subtle as just an old song as you're in the store. It's that subtle, you know? And I've talked about this in a restaurant or a fast food place eating grease. I've sat there and an old song comes on, and all of a sudden I'm saying the words, and I look around like, who just did that, you know? And it's woo, and it'll take you anyway. What, that's not in the notes either. Now the Nicolaitans, verse 15. Is another place, the church at Pergamos. We'll talk about that. Notice what it says about the church at Pergamos, chapter 2, verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, you know, with the church at Ephesus, he said, you hate what they're doing. So they're still taking a stand. You know, the pastor at the church of Ephesus, he preached about the Burger King churches. He preached about, you know, he warned the people about the Joel Osteens and the fruitcake-ism that is out there. And some of you just got to rise the hair on the back. He can't talk about it. He will talk about it. Compromise makes me sick. It ought to make us all sick. I mean, it should. And it is what, you know, in the church at Ephesus, they were not going to tolerate compromise. Church at Pergamos? Looks like they were kind of putting up with it. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And of course, we know the church of Laodicea, they became so lukewarm, God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Right? How do you become lukewarm? You become lukewarm, first of all, by losing the first love. But how do you lose the first love? Well, something draws you away from it. Come on, folks. Stay. It's not that early. We're all right. We have the air conditioning on. It'll work today. Boy, last week was tough. It was tough. It was getting warm in here, and I'm watching people say. Reminded me of some of my college classes, and my notes are like this, and then it's starting to get real shaky and shakier and shakier, and pretty soon there's these. How many of you know what I'm talking about with these? You have notes like that where it kind of goes like that? Matt, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I'm telling you, that's bad. That's so bad. I look back at some of my notes, and it's bad. But anyway, that has nothing to do with anything either. So the church at Pergamos put up with it. Okay, folks, you know, really, Berean Baptist Church, we have to decide, do you put up with it or not? Okay, so what would it be? Well, it'd be, with our orchestra here, we'll have to put a drum set up on the platform because you're going to put up with it. We're going to have to start. We'll drop the screen during, we'll get rid of the songbook so we can add all the cutesy little songs about I Feel Good. Okay, we'll have to put some black lights in and turn off the main lights and turn on the black lights. Maybe put some stars up in the sky that are moving with a little mural kind of a thing. Or maybe have a psychedelic light like I used to have for the 70s kind of where the little things twirl. And, you know, maybe have a worship leader come out. And all the gals in their skin-tight jeans, and they come out and they lead everybody in worship. Churches do it all the time. They're doing it here in Adrian. Baptist churches are going that direction. You know, Sunday night, instead of preaching, we'll show Andy Griffith. Which I love to watch Barney. Right? Don't go to church for Barney. We used to call him Barney Baptist because of the purple Barney. I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. That has nothing to do with anything either. But anyway, let's move on to Roman numeral 4, the condemnation, now that we've talked about love. Anyway, I like the fact, this is why I don't get finished with Revelation, because I am a preacher, and I get to preaching. But look at verse 4. And again, this is our verse, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How sad. Those are sad words. Would you agree? Those are sad words. Those are sad words. I don't know how many times as a pastor I have sat across from a couple and one or the other says, I don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. Yeah, it's a married couple. Sometimes they've been married 25, 30 years. Sometimes they've been married 5 years. Sometimes 10. Various stages of marriage, I have heard those words. And I'll be honest with you, that's sad. That is so sad. I'm not sure of anything that is more sad than when a spouse tells me they no longer love their spouse and that spouse is sitting right there. That is tough stuff. Would you agree? It's tough. Because see, I always think, and the heart, one of the hardest things is when I have actually married that couple years before, because I'm getting old, and I've done a lot of marriages, and it's one of those couples that I met, and I remember counseling with them, and I remember how excited they were. And I remember them standing in front of their family and friends and in front of God and making their vows, and they goo-goo-eyed each other the whole time, and it was like, there is nothing more important than this day. And I remember that. And I think, how sad that they don't love them. By the way, remember this, folks. Love is a choice. And when someone says, a husband says, I don't love my wife anymore, he's saying, I've chosen not to love her anymore. When a wife says, I don't love my husband anymore, she's saying, I've chosen not to love him anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I've done it a lot of times, and I've never become hard to that, and I hope I never do, because it just breaks my heart. Sometimes I want to cry for that other person who's sitting there, and I've had them both say it, and I want to cry for both of them, because I think, what in the world happened that you would choose? Because you chose each other. You stood in front of God, and you chose each other. What in the world happened? But I think it's even worse. Verse 4. When Jesus has to tell the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. Now watch me now. They were running their buses. I'm sorry, chariots. How do you know that? Well, because he commended them for their work. He commended them for their labor. They had their Christian school going. They had vacation Bible school every year. Are you listening? They had their nursery. They had everything going. They had master clubs going. Everything was going on. How do you know? They were working. They were the active church. They were busy. But the condemnation is that they left their first love. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:2. By the way, this is going to get real preachy. It almost became a message. It may. But I wouldn't dare try to pull it off after teaching it in Sunday school. I'll have to wait at least 2 weeks so you'll forget this lesson. You say, oh, Pastor, you could do it next week. Oh, it hurts me when you say things like that, even though you didn't say it. 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift, watch this now, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, look what kind of faith he has here, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. That is powerful. That's what he's talking about. Church of Ephesus, you're far outworking most churches. You're doing great things. You're seeing people saved. Your soul winning is great. Your Sunday school efforts are fantastic. I mean, the chariot ministry is thriving. But something's wrong here. Thou hast left thy first love. I will make this statement. All religion is worthless if there's no heart of love. It isn't, it's no different than any social organization. Rotary Club, Elks, Moose, or Mises. It's no different when we lose our love. We're just a service organization. Well, people get saved. Praise the Lord, that's great. But what's Jesus saying? He's saying, you know, if there's no heart of love, one request. I think I preached this one time. One gift, one thing we can give to God. I think I preached it at Christmas, it seems like. If I didn't, I will. Because it's a great idea. But one gift Okay, what can I give Jesus? What can I give the Lord? What is it that I could give to God? You know, we're always looking for gifts. You know, the green socks, the tie, that they'll never wear. You know, all those things, right? What can I give to God? Does anybody remember that? Does anybody know what it is? Okay, self, but a little more specific. My son, give me thine heart. Your heart. That's all he wants. Yeah, you know, I mean, he does. He does talk about ourselves, as Perry said, but it's more than that. Do you know that I could give myself physically to him? And if I don't give him my heart, I've done what they did. Folks, please, don't misunderstand me. You know, the works are good. He said to the church of Ephesus, he said, you know what? Your works, your labor, all of that, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. He said, you're doing the work. But he says, I want your heart. And you and I can honestly get a lot of work done and never say boo to Jesus all week long. What were you going to say, Carol? Yes, we'll get to that. Let me get into my outline. I know where you're headed. Okay, so again, you know, my son, give me thine heart. Okay, again, we're not talking about people that lost their first love. They left their first love. Okay, they left it. They departed from it. I'm not saying they don't love him anymore, okay? I'm just saying there is a love. There is a first love, as Carol has pointed out. And they didn't lose it. They left it. Okay, why would you leave it? Why would you leave that? Now, there is, and I'm not sure where you're headed. I know where I'm headed as far as first love. It's that first love. It's that exciting first love. It's when I got saved and I started growing in the Lord. By the way, I should never stop growing in the Lord. But what will keep me growing in the Lord is that first love. It's that curious love, well, now I'm getting ahead of myself. That trusting love, that open love, do you understand? When I first got saved, when you first got saved, pretty much the Word of God, we're learning it. It's all new to us, but we're so excited and our love is new love. And I can liken it to a dating relationship. And I do that in my own life. And I think, God, I don't want to be where it's just old hat. I don't want to be that way with my wife. I don't want it to be that way with God. I want that first love to just never leave. I told somebody the other day, they said, they asked how long we've been married. I said, we're still 35, we're on our 35th, coming up to our 35th honeymoon. And really, it's not our 35th, it's 35 years of honeymoon. It's first love. It's still first love. It should be first love all the time. And, you know, but they left it. Now, why did they leave it? Okay, why did they depart? Why did they leave their first love? And we need ushers to come, if they will. And I want to give you this, and you can think about it. 2 weeks ago, we had a wedding here. Brian and Cheryl got married. And I thought about this. I thought about this the whole time. I've been thinking about this. Brian, and they stood here, and there was this thorn thing. I mean, tree thing. And, you know, people have all kinds of things for weddings, and I tell them, it's fine. It's your wedding. Do what you want to do. But anyway, so they're standing here in this tree thing, and everybody's up here. And they're carrying on up here like, you know, it's hilarious. And they're laughing, and they're talking, and they're giggling. And, you know, they're talking about stuff as if no one's there. I'm standing right here, and Brother Lamb is standing right here, and they're just carrying on. You know, they're looking into each other's eyes. And, you know, and he's, oh, and she's, oh, this is so wonderful. And, you know, oh, I love you. So, you know, and all this, they don't care. They don't care you're out there watching them. They don't care it's being videoed. They don't. It doesn't matter to them. They're in love, and they're loving, and they've chosen each other. This is our day to let everybody know, but they're totally oblivious to everything else around them. Totally. It doesn't matter to them what everybody else is. They don't care. Mom and Dad's right here. Both sets of parents sitting right there looking at them. Everybody's staring at them. They know it. You got the maid of honor. You know, she's standing right there looking at him. You got the best man. He's right over here. You got Brian's youth director. He's standing right here. He's looking right at him. They don't care. Doesn't matter. You know what? They're looking at each other. It's all they care about. Nothing else matters. You know, he says something, and I mean, that's all that matters. They were supposed to do their, I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I'll take the chance. No, they had the tree. It was called a unity tree, and I'd never done anything like that. I'm used to unity candles. I'll probably have who knows what in the future. But anyway, it was kind of a neat idea, you know, dirt, and they mix the dirt, and that's kind of a nice thing. Plant the tree in the yard, and oh, it's so beautiful and all that kind of stuff. But I said, you know, I announced it in the only way I knew how, because I'd never done it before. And I said, all right, they're going to symbolize the verse, they twain shall be one flesh. And he starts to lift her veil. And she's kind of going along with it, you know. Oh boy, here we go. And you know, I'm going, dirt, you know. But they, you know what? She's listening to him. It's, you know, and finally, you know, he realized, okay, yeah, we're supposed to do this. But folks, you got to understand something. That's how it is. That's how it is. You know, you don't care about anything. I'm out of time. I really am out of time, big time. But I got an invitation to my 35th class reunion. 35, that's old. And anyway, thank you, Brother Korea. But anyway, I got an invitation to that, and I got to thinking, you know, Brenda and I were talking about it, and she got an invitation to hers because we are the same age now. So we both get these invitations to our 35th, and we started to think about, you know, our junior and senior year, we don't remember anybody too much. And I was talking, I said, you know, I don't remember a whole lot about my junior and senior year. Of course, I don't remember yesterday real well, But I said, you know, a lot of the people, and it hit both of us right at the same time, that's when we start dating. And you know what? We pretty much left everybody else out. Why is that? Love. All I wanted to know about was her. I didn't care about Joe Smith. I didn't care about Steve Snyder anymore. I didn't care about Dennis Ott. These were my best friends, but they... You know, they'd go, hey, you want to go hang out? I'd say, I'm hanging with somebody new. Amen. You know, when I first got saved, that's how it was. But I can tell you this, that's how it still is. Is it with you? I'm still excited. Now, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't have to be stimulated sometimes. As Paul told Timothy, you know, stir it up. You've got to stir that thing up sometime. You know, that's not his fault. That's my fault. But it is that way. You know, when God tells a husband to love his wife, he's telling him, love your wife. He's not telling him, you know, boy, it'd be a good idea if you did. He's not saying, you'll feel better if you do. He's saying, you do it. She needs that. Okay? And so... That's what we do. Amen. But I need to keep excited about him. And the only way I'm not is if something turns me away. Right? Has it tried over the years? Over and over and over. It's kind of like my wife. You've heard her say this, and I'm really out of time. But she said this so many times. She'll be talking to me, and maybe I'm reading the paper or something like that. And it's and some things are just, oh, you know, the flowers, they this and they that, and the plant did this, and oh, it's so exciting, you know, and stuff that who cares. But then it's serious stuff, and she'll get into serious things. And I'll be, you know, I'll say, oh, that, yeah, that's nice, and that's good. And you know what she'll do? She'll go like this. She grabs my face and turns it. And, you know, what is she saying? She's saying, don't be distracted. I'm saying something you need to hear. And I like it. I think that's good. Amen? Because I need to keep my eye on her. Right? Because there's all kinds of junk out there that would try to turn me away. Just like it tries to turn you away. But I just keep that first love. And we'll finish this up. Well, some of it. Sometime, right? We'll finish. You know, anyway, thank you, Lord, for this class time. Thank you for loving us and always loving us. No matter what we do, no matter how nasty we look, how dirty we get, you always love us. And I pray you'd help us to love you, because you're never nasty. You're never dirty. You're always perfect and always so loving. And I pray that you'll help us not to leave our first love. And for those of us who've left, God, that we'll come back and we'll delight in you as you delight in us. Bless our morning service now. Please speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name.